Welcome to the Capes and Tights podcast. I'm your host, Justin Soderberg, and this is my wife, Taylor Soderberg. Welcome.
Hello.
We are here to talk Thor, Love and Thunder. But before we get started, Adam is going to step away for a while. Just a lot of stuff going on in life and so on and so forth. So we're having some guests co-hosts over the next few episodes. So tonight we're recording because my wife Taylor likes the Thor Ragnarok movie. So I thought we'll do Thor Love and Thunder and we'll talk about that. So she's gotten more into the MCU over the years since she met me, really. I mean, you didn't really watch Marvel before you met me.
I think the Iron Man.
Whatever. If you want, we actually have our rankings that are pretty old because we haven't done it since we started the website, but marriedintothis.com has our rankings from a while ago, so you can check those out. But we went and saw this in the theaters.
We
on
did.
July 8th. We were the first people in the Bangor area where we live to see it because we took
like
half a day.
Yeah, in the afternoon.
Took a half a day and went to the movie theater as well. So that was fun. We went to Margaritas afterwards and got enchiladas, right?
And fried ice cream.
Fried ice cream.
Can't forget the fried ice cream. Yeah.
So, this is the first time we're actually doing an in-person two-person podcast in the new studio space. We've always done it via Zoom or on the internet. So this is kind of cool having two people in here, right?
I like it. It's a lot better than our couch.
Exactly, right? And last time we did one, we actually did it from across the we did it in two different rooms. Remember that?
We did.
Yeah,
it was a while ago.
It was a while ago. But Thor: Love and Thunder came out July 8th, I believe, 2022. It was directed and co-written by Taika Waititi along with co-writer Jennifer Caton Robinson, I guess. It was made for $250 million and it has brought in $756 million so far as of the recording and release of this podcast in the middle of this September. It is now on Disney Plus, so if anybody has a Disney Plus subscription services, go watch that. It is a 65% critic rating and 77% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's
higher than I thought it was.
So the funny thing is it's, I have written on my notes here, okay, it's definitely not the best Thor movie by far, but it's also not the worst in my opinion. And according to the critics rating on Rotten Tomatoes, it is a 65%, which is puts it the 1% less, or 66% for Dark World.
I think it's slightly better.
The Dark World is so bad, and that's the thing. So Dark World is so far down towards the bottom of my list that this...
It's a different bad, though.
It has so much more going on in this movie than that movie has. I feel like
it's opposite direction.
Well, drama-related and then a bad, not a great movie. This had at least had some comedy and it made you laugh, and there were some storylines, and the Dark World had some comic book themes, but this, to me, had, like, with Gore, the God Butcher, and all that stuff, has comic book themes, so... As my wife knows, I'm going to be way more nerdy into the comic book related things of it. The cool thing about having Taylor here to talk about it is you're going to get the basic following a drop, right?
Nope.
you're going to get the basic, not basic because it sounds like I'm calling you a basic girl, but the cinematic version only, meaning that you're not really reading the comic books. You're really getting the idea.
It's more of the MCU as a whole, yes. Not the comic books. I'm not just like... random MCU movies. I've got the whole experience, just not the comic book experience, besides what he tells me.
Well, I'm going to come at you with like Gore the God Butcher was excellent because I loved him in the comic books, and you're going to be like, I never read the comic books. So
yeah.
So you're going to come at it specifically for saying that you liked the movie, didn't like the movie, didn't like this from a movie only standpoint, or MCU standpoint, whereas I'm going to come at it being like, oh yeah, it's kind of like the comic books and that's cool. That's what I'm saying. There's two different views on it.
Comic book.
But I'm saying, like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, you're coming at it in two different directions. You're coming at it specifically that you only watch the movies or TV shows, mm-hmm. and I'm coming at it where I read the comic books before I went and saw the movie.
Yes.
So it's cool to have that different side of it. Adam's kind of like that, too, when he was on here. He has a little less comic book knowledge mm-hmm. of these things as well. So it is also not the worst rated Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
Was it the first Hulk?
No.
Ooh.
Eternals.
Really?
The Eternals was a 47% critic rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
You know, I actually...
So, not that Rotten Tomatoes means much, but yeah.
I thought it was decent. Like, I don't think it was a lot worse in this movie.
Eternals?
Yeah.
Again, what we have with the Eternals is you have...
It's
or
a new
Dark World,
introduction.
Is you have... It's specifically drama. With the MCU comedy spun in there.
Spread
whereas
butter.
This is... Like, if you actually ask someone Ragnarok and this... Mm-hmm. What would you say the number one genre is besides superhero?
Comedy.
Yeah. Whereas like the other ones are drama. So when it's bad and it's just drama. This has drama, but it mainly is comedy. So you at least get the jokes in there, whether you liked it or not. Honestly, the jokes are not, but you get that. So I think that's why it has that like step above Dark World and step above Eternals is because of that. We don't have the rankings and people don't know the rankings, but you know, Taylor here also doesn't like the Marvels, Captain Marvel.
Oh, I can't stand that movie.
Doctor Strange. So there's some movies that are towards your bottom that are not obviously towards my bottom because of certain things.
But we do have a couple few top ones that are the same.
Yes. Overarching, we're just going to talk some overarching things on this. I thought Christian Bale stole the show, really.
He was amazing. He's like up there in my favorite villains.
And it's funny because he's done such an amazing job as Batman.
Yeah.
And I like him from back. And every time we talk about Christian Bale on the podcast, we talk about the Newsies show, a movie from the years ago, which Taylor here hasn't actually seen yet. So
I know. It's one of your favorite movies. I've yet to see it.
Yeah. We wore out the VHS tape as my brothers and I. It was funny. But
I like that the villain, you couldn't recognize him, who he was as an actor. And I always find that fascinating of like how they can completely immerse themselves in the role.
Well, like I said, the comic book side of it is some people didn't like the fact that Gore looked the way he looked.
A little bit like Voldemort.
Well, like they rebooked Voldemort in the movie or in the comic books that they didn't do that in the movies. And some people, including my brother, were very upset about the fact that he didn't look like that. But I thought he looked great. I thought he looked scary. Mm-hmm. He looked dark. The color came out of him, like at the beginning of the movie when he shows him going up to that.
You can see the progression.
You see him like faithfully following his god and then the god letting him down and letting his daughter die. And then him getting the necro sword and killing a bunch of people. Killing all gods, and he became gray almost. Like he became like the death of it all was overtaking him, taking the color out of him, which was great. I think, according to Taika Waititi, the movie was like 4 hours before he cut a bunch of it out.
You can feel that in it.
And I feel like some more going on with Gore would be kind of cool. Like him actually seeing him kill a few gods and things like that would be kind
of
cool.
I feel like you need to build up a little bit more of an emotional connection. Yes, it was very sad. His daughter died. And like I feel like you could tug on your heartstrings a little bit more. Just slightly, maybe another minute of backstory would really push it forward and then show, as you said, killing. I feel like it's kind of like didn't fulfill a story.
Yeah. I mean, but like I said, he stole the show in a sense. I mean, Chris Hemsworth as Thor is always good. I think he plays the character Thor really well, whether it was like Thor 1 or Thor 2 with like this serious Odin's son, like, you know, Norse god storylines, or these comedy related storylines. So I feel like Chris Hemsworth is the kind of character or actor who can play both characters really well, and so I think there's the comedy aspect of it. It's really good, but in the end Christian Bale was the best actor in the movie, was the best person, and he's up there now with like probably top five villains to me in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, you got obviously I'm gonna be a big Thanos fan.
Thanos, Mysterio.
Mysterio was pretty good. Favorite. It was really good with Gore the God Butcher in that as well. I do like how the comedy was there, but there was something off about this comedy versus Ragnarok's comedy.
I feel like they tried to make every single clip or every single scene a meme-worthy event. So you could piecemeal any part of the movie and it would be meme-worthy. And I feel like you need to like break those down. Yeah. Like the goats.
Yes.
I could live without the goats.
Well, it's funny. I mean, they add to the plot line. It's funny and they thought it was great, and I thought like even the actors thought it was funny in there, but like to me it was that in the I forget what it was, in the gods, the room with all the gods, there was a few gods that were kind of weird. That was like they did it.
Oh, the Baobun.
Yes. They did it because it was funny, but it was like that to me took me out of the MCU. If that makes any sense. When the goats were doing that thing, it's like in my mind I immediately went to the meme.
Yes.
It's the meme to me. It made me step outside the movie. It's what some people are complaining right now about She-Hulk. Is when she talks and breaks the fourth wall and talks to the camera, it takes them out of the idea that they're lost in the MCU, that this is a different universe. When they're talking to the camera,
it is different.
They now know the camera's there, so now it was just filming a show. You know what I mean? So like this seeing the goats screaming and the Baobun god removed me a little bit and made me go, oh, well, this is the MCU. This is not like the Ragnarok's humor had just jokes in
it was
the
like
movie,
witty,
whereas this was like a comedy stand-up special, or not kind of like a stand-up special, but a sketch show.
It really felt like it was like
SNL.
You could feel it was 4 hours and they cut their favorite parts, and I'm sure there's a lot more content that would have helped build up to those moments.
And I watched, since Ragnarok and just before this, I watched Hunt for the Wilder People, which is the Taika Waititi movie that he created a number of years ago. And it had a lot of the same type of humor that Ragnarok had in it. And so I think they did it was a Taika Waititi movie. It was great. This, to me, I don't know. They just tried to go too far. I think that they tried to make it a clean version of Deadpool with all the comedy and all that stuff in it. So I think they just went too far. That's all.
Yeah, no, it's still a decent movie.
I like the movie.
I like the play. Mm-hmm. I like the homage back to
the Ragnarok with the Matt Damon playing in there.
Yes,
and Chris's
I think that was a good tie-in.
And in the beginning of the movie where Korg is, first of all, Taika Waititi could play Korg for the rest of his life, and I'd be happy about that because Korg is like amazing. But he did the narrating in the very beginning, telling you kind of like Thor's story. And hearing Korg narrate, I mean, Taika Waititi's voice is one of my favorite, most iconic voices to me. Having that was amazing. I wrote on here, too, Screaming Goats. I don't know if you saw that when you were talking about yours.
I said yaks are stupid. Yeah.
And the other really kind of weird thing to me was the relationship he had with his hammer and with Stormbreaker, the hammer and
the
axe. I found
the personification slightly off-putting because you didn't have the complete personification throughout the other ones. I like that he like kind of like cared for it more, mm-hmm. but then the whole talking to it and
it was weird.
Having a personality, it was strange.
It
wasn't needed.
In the movie, there was times where you're like, okay, or the goats, for example. So you see the goats. And they did it that one time towards the beginning of the movie, and that's the last time you saw them in the entire movie.
Yes.
Okay, funny, haha. Like, you know, same thing with the hammer thing. If you had a conversation with this hammer, and then did this funny thing where it's like he feels like he's cheating on the hammer and all this other stuff, or cheating on Stormbreaker, and that was it, cool. But when they kept on going back to the well, and kept on going back to the idea that he didn't have a really good relationship with both, he lost his hammer and yada, 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 it kind of fell flat for me, because it's like, okay, we did that. You did that joke. You don't need to come back to the joke again. It's over. That's my feeling on it.
Yeah, no, I found that off-putting. I do like how they built up why she could hold the hammer. It made, like, I'm a reason person. I like to make sure it makes sense, even though it's kind of hard with some of these movies. They definitely made it. It was plausible to me.
Yes.
In a sense.
Yes.
That they did a really good job with that, and I felt that was a good move.
And I got excited at the beginning that when they announced this movie, they announced that Natalie Portman's coming back as Jane Foster, and I was like, oh, I'm really excited to see her actually get her due, because I feel like in the Dark World, they didn't really give her what she did. And even in the first movie, they basically used her as a storyline prop, but not really so deeply into it. And I feel like they just, and one of the main reasons I don't think she was in Ragnarok is because she just felt like she wasn't getting her due. And then when they put her in this movie, I'm like, oh, I'm excited. And they still didn't. I think they gave her her due because they gave her the idea of being Mighty Thor, which is a comic book straight from the comic books.
Yeah.
But I still feel like they could have used her better than they used her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they made her like more awkward.
I mean, I'm glad they didn't do what a lot of people thought they might do, which was Chris Hemsworth was going to stop being Thor. And
yes.
They would let her be Thor, and then Jane Foster as the Mighty Thor would be the Thor from future. But they didn't do that, which I'm glad.
But more as a non-comic book fan, for once, I just want an MCU movie with a love story that ends. I know there's Hawkeye and his wife. They're the ones that are like the only couple that stayed together. But it was sad. And I feel like they could have at least built up the emotion better towards them, so you feel the loss more when she dies.
Well, I do like is that they in Ragnarok, obviously, you know they're not longer together, right?
Yes.
They talk about it. They talk about how they broke up. It was a mutual breakup.
Yes, that was cute.
But mutual dumping. I'm glad they gave the little like story backline, like the backstory of how they were doing so well together and they were loving each other. And
that
they,
was
and
very
they
nice.
Grew apart and so on. That was cool. I do like that, and that was Korg's narrating again, which is pretty cool. I do like how they went with the cancer thing, which is what the comic book is. The reason why she, you know, became Thor, cancer, but the Thor being a Thor is killing her more and faster and yada, yada, yada. And the fact that they basically said, okay, she's dead. Like, well, not dead, but they don't know if she's actually dead, but she does go to Valhalla, which is the place where gods go after they die. So there is this, they did her well, I think, in that aspect of it. I do think that I'm glad that, not that I wouldn't like a female Thor, I'm just glad that they didn't. Chris Hemsworth is potentially still Thor, which at the end it says Thor will return, and he had no idea that was going to be there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's cute.
We'll see what happens. But
well, I could feel like you can't just kill off or move on all your big superheroes. Because, I mean, Iron Man's gone. Hulk, I feel like he's slowly dying out. Well,
the problem I'm starting to have, and I have no, you know me, I will probably defend the MCU before I'll defend a lot of things. And, mm-hmm. and the problem I'm having right now is we're 14 years into the MCU. Mm-hmm. In May, basically, was 14 years since Iron Man 1 came out. 14 years is not a long time in the span of how long Marvel Comics been out.
Yes.
Like, you know, you're talking in the 60s, you're talking 60 or 70 years, the 70 years right now of Marvel, of Spider-Man. And so 70 years is a long time that eventually they have to use a new person as Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and so on, and yes. Mighty Thor, and so on. But we're only 14 years into this. So the sucky thing is that you can draw someone in a comic book for 60 years and they look identical. The problem we have is, A, some actors want to do something different.
Yes.
And B, they're going to get older.
Well, so I think you that's have to do this faster.
Well, you have to do it faster. And I think that the idea of Sam Wilson be Captain America mm-hmm. with the new Captain America movie, they're doing the changeover. Riri Williams, Ironheart, is going to be like the new Iron Man.
Yes.
And so on. They're doing Hawkeye with Kate Bishop, Hawkeye. They're doing some of these changeovers, but they don't have to do all of them. If Chris Hemsworth wants to play Thor for a long time and be old Thor and King Thor and all the stuff from comic books, I am very cool with that. I'm glad they didn't give the reins to Jane Foster and say, cool, Chris Hemsworth now no longer Thor. I'm glad they made her Thor in this movie.
Yes.
But didn't finish the movie with her being Thor, basically.
I also felt that they did Valkyrie a disjustice.
Mm-hmm.
She was a badass in the last movie, and I feel like they didn't do anything with her.
No, but I think she'll be back, and I think that's one of those things that...
She needs her moment.
Yeah. Well, I think they have a lot of people ever since, like, you put Hulk in the other movie, and you had Loki in Ragnarok, I should say, and then you had Valkyrie, and you have all these people, and then you try to put some of these in this, and then add Jane Foster back. It's like you have like a lot of people to talk between.
But I feel like she was there solely for the girl Bond parts.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't know. In the comic books, Jane Foster at some points becomes Valkyrie, too. So there's also that twist in there that they didn't do. I will say the bait and switch with the Guardians of the Galaxy part at the beginning
mm-hmm.
was odd, too. We're talking about more people in this movie. When you saw the trailer for the movie, you're like, okay, cool. It's going to be... I mean, I even put up and displayed the issue of As Guardians of the Galaxy because I thought, well, Thor's going with them, so they're going to be this... cool Asgardian Guardians of the Galaxy kind of blend.
Mm-hmm.
And the first, 5 minutes of the movie, you see Chris Pratt and those people, and then all of a sudden they're gone.
I feel like it was weird. I feel like they tried to, like, give them their 2 seconds and make people happy.
Yeah, well, they connected the movies, basically, by connecting the end of a movie...
A cheap way.
In a way that, like, okay, they saw them. You can just say this, like, this time passes. You don't need to have this connection between... It was just really weird. It was like a... Almost like it was a contractually obligated thing, which it wasn't. But I'm saying, like, imagine yes. that. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to put you in this movie because we said we put you in X amount of movies, and we'll just throw you in the beginning of this movie and move on.
Yeah.
It was just weird because when I was reading the previews of this thing, I'm like, oh, Chris Pratt's in this movie. He was basically not in the movie. You know what I mean? So, like I said, the big overarching things, we'll get into some other nitty-gritty things, too, is that it was funny, but maybe almost too at times.
It was too much. It just made it less funny. Yeah.
It was the idea of what the story could be with Gore the God Butcher and all that stuff was great. I think it just fell off. I think everything that was in this movie, except for the performance from Christian Bale and maybe Chris Hemsworth,
mm-hmm.
was like almost what it could be, but then fell short. And so that if you add all those together, it makes it a 65% Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
Score. You know what I mean? Like everything was just not done. And Ragnarok, I think everything was done, executed perfectly. And that's why it got.
That's why it gets
a critic 93%.
I feel like I don't know. I feel like it's just a hurricane of madness in this movie. Which I mean, going in from loving Ragnarok is one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
I feel like I was trying to not get my hopes up too much.
And you were excited for it, and you knew you were excited for it, but then
it hurt a little bit.
Yeah. Afterwards, I could tell we were silent. When we went in the car. It was like you're like, oh, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know. And we did the right thing. We went to the movie first, and then we were gonna go eat so we could talk about it. And we both were like sitting at the taco place and being like, I don't know how I feel.
Rewatching it solidified my feeling of like, it's a movie I can sit and play on my phone.
Well, here's the other
part.
Read
a book too.
It came out on Wednesday of last week. No, Thursday, because it came out on Disney mm-hmm. Plus Day. And The funny thing is that we actually watched Cars on the Road with our son pre-watching this one, meaning that, like, to the point where when it came out on streaming, I was excited to see it again because mm-hmm. I wanted to see it again for this reasons. But I wasn't, like, if we didn't record this podcast, we might have not watched it yet. If that makes
yeah,
any sense.
Yeah, yeah, it'd probably been
that tells fun. You what the movie is in the yes. sense of it. When Spider-Man No Way Home came out, we immediately watched it on streaming because it was, we liked it so much in the theaters. It was like, we got to see this now again. Whereas this was like, I could take it or leave it, you know? Morbius was like that. It's obviously not MCU, but it was like, I guess I'll watch it at some point. You know, this was that same, not same, it wasn't as bad as Morbius. Morbius was horrible. But I'm saying, like, it had that idea that if it's not that good that I would want to watch it on Thursday when it drops, then it's probably not my favorite MCU movie at all.
Yeah, I'll go through and rank it. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. It, you know, Ragnarok will obviously be above it, but I do think that it's not as good as, or it's better than Dark World. I'll always fight that. Even if Dark World is, like, right below it. Like, if they're back-to-back yes, in the yes. rankings, Dark World has to be before it just because of how many holes are in that movie as well. The gods were weird. Zeus was weird. The Greek accent that Zeus had of, I mean, I don't know. I just, that was weird.
It was off-putting, and I don't know if they meant to do that. I know they're supposed to be, like, gods are bad.
And cocky and stuff like that, but, like, I don't know. I just didn't like his... the Zeus. I just didn't like that at all. The whole part was weird. And how they were so nonchalant about someone's killing a bunch of gods and they're all like, we are selfish and think of ourselves. And it's like, that was just weird.
Again, the premise was there. It just wasn't executed.
The battle, like the graphics, the battles were fun. I mean, mm-hmm. like I said, the movie overall is an experience that's worth watching. Yes. I think a lot of people will actually disagree with us on that aspect of it because they think it's that bad that they just don't want people to watch it. But I think it's still a great movie. I think when you have 20 some odd movies that come out before it,
yes.
that 18 of those are masterpieces in my opinion. And this is not. If this was a standalone movie about the same storyline, same everything, but it had nothing to do with comic books, it might actually have been treated well. I think it's just because you're relating it to... It's getting that point in Star Wars. It's getting that point in Lord of the Rings just, and Game of Thrones.
If it was taken out of a Marvel context, it's a solid, solid one.
Yeah.
B minus B movie. But you put in the Marvel movies.
It becomes a C.
Yes.
D.
C minus,
because
it's,
like I said, you're relating it to all the other movies. When there's four Thor movies, and one of them is one of the best movies that's ever come out, it's never going to live up to that unless, and we thought it might because it's Taika Waititi. We thought, okay, he's going to make this movie. He's going to do a good job with it. If you just blueprinted the same thing, same amount of comedy, same amount of jokes, same amount of themes.
Yeah, I don't know what's going through in his head.
I don't know. He's not going to do another one, supposedly.
He needs a break.
He just basically used it because of the way that it's been reviewed.
Really?
Yeah. So, whatever. Cool. Help him do other things. He's going to do a Star Wars movie. Yep. He directed an episode of Mandalorian.
Yes, I know.
I want him to do another movie like for the Wilder People. It'd be fun. But like I said, the battles were great. Obviously, we've already spoiled a bunch of things anyway, so if you haven't seen the movie, it's stupid to listen to this podcast. But the ending. So the traveling, the kids with the power of Thor was weird, and he was temporarily. Give them the power of Thor. He was just reminded. It was weird, and then the ending where Jane and... Thor and Gore were by Eternity. I thought the special effects on the Eternity thing was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when she basically says you can save your daughter, you can bring your daughter back, was a weird thing. And then Thor adopting the daughter, it felt like it fell off a cliff at the very end. Like, there's so much more you could have done with Gore, with the whole thing. And then for some reason we save the daughter. And then the daughter then becomes the reason why it's called Love and Thunder.
Oh, I kind of thought they needed to... I thought that was kind of cute, the call to Love and Thunder.
I understand that, but like the movie's called Love and Thunder, and the movie has nothing... At least Ragnarok. The movie's about Ragnarok happening.
True.
Love and Thunder literally was like 30 seconds at the end of the movie was why they call it Love and Thunder. And it's Gore's adopted daughter that now is Thor's... It was really
They wanted to become a dad, but they didn't know how to do it.
I don't know. It was very odd in that aspect of it.
Did you know that...
Chris
Hemsworth's daughter is actually his daughter in the movie. Yeah.
Which is awesome. I think that's really cool. It's cool to have her on set and all that stuff too. So it's kind of cool that his daughter is his actual daughter. I just thought the idea behind The other thing I want from now on, or some now, you mentioned the love stories continuing on. Can we please get a villain that lasts more than one movie other than...
Thor.
No, other than Thanos?
I meant Thanos.
Other than Thanos? Like, think about a movie that are just basically at the end of the movie, the person's either put in prison or it doesn't exist anymore. It's like a villain for the movie or a villain for the TV show.
Throwaway villains. No, I understand that.
It doesn't have to be forever. But can you have it be that Gore survived this and ends up in Quantumania with Ant-Man and then dies or something along those lines? Or I don't know. I just feel like there needs to be this more continuation-like thing. Because, I mean, villains in the comic books last from series to series and crossover and all that. I don't know. It just would be kind of cool if they actually end up doing that.
What if they made a villain that was a love interest?
I would love a villain's movie, right? No?
Yeah.
Continuing on, I think we've gotten most of it. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add to this movie? I mean, we don't have to have a huge, super long podcast of this one.
No, I really... We talked about the... We basically had the same points. We didn't talk about this beforehand. But I put the gods... You're kind of weird. And I feel like I've always liked that mythology type of stuff in the movies, and I hate to relate it to Percy Jackson, but I feel like they were better gods.
It also is cool because this is a movie you actually get quote-unquote gods, whereas if you think about all the other ones were Norse mythology stuff, and there's no ever been a relationship to gods until, like, even the Eternals, it wasn't really gods. They are gods, but it wasn't, they didn't mention gods, and this one was the first one they're like gods, and which was kind of cool in that aspect of it. But yeah, there were, it was a weird connection to all of them. But in the post-credits scene, we are going to get Hercules, who's played by Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso, which one of our favorite shows.
Oh, when are they coming back?
I don't know, soon. And so that's pretty cool. We saw Hercules on that, so there'll hopefully be some more Hercules action, and Zeus is not actually dead either.
I don't know if they can live up to what the Disney animated Hercules, like, from my childhood.
It's better than The Rock. I love The Rock. The Rock can't do anything wrong, except for the movie Hercules.
He's only allowed to do heist movies and, like, those
car
movies.
Kevin Hart.
Yes, but... No, I am excited for that. I'm kind of afraid after how this God thing went, but...
Yeah, I mean, next up we have, not one of your favorites, but Black Panther is next, so that would be fun. I think they'll do better. I think Ryan Coogler's second chance, like Taika Waititi did his second chance, and this will be better than Taika Waititi kind of didn't do what he should have done, and I feel like Ryan Coogler is going to do what he should do with Black Panther 2, which is
cool.
Yes,
I'm excited for that. Can't imagine them not to do that.
And then we have Ant-Man in 2023, the beginning of 2023.
I gotta say, this phase of the MCU is kind of my least. I'm not excited for anything of it.
Well, this is the end. This phase 4 is ending with Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, and then it's going into phase 5, which is Ant-Man. Ant-Man should be fun.
I wasn't a big fan of the Ant-Man
but
movies.
I think it's different. I think this is gonna be a good Kang's gonna be
Paul
in
Red,
it. Kang's gonna be in it. It's gonna be great. So I like that. The other post-credit scene, if anybody didn't watch or didn't see it, is Jane Foster going to Valhalla and seeing Heimdall, which is really cool, because I think Idris Elba is one of my favorite actors of all time anyway, but Heimdall as a character was really cool, so seeing that was really awesome as well. But yeah, I think I have all my notes pretty much summed up. We don't have to go over every single part of the movie. It's worth watching. It's what Adam and I started doing for a while there too on these podcasts, which was saying to people there's like a thumbs up versus thumbs down. Okay. And the thumbs up versus thumbs down is wait for it to come in streaming or watch it in your house or get to the movie theater and watch it opening night. That's like your thing. Like,
yes.
And I feel like this is one of those ones that would have been okay for us. We wouldn't have been able to do it. We
want
to have seen it. But if it wasn't such a Ragnarok follow-up, we would have waiting to watch it streaming is okay. Like, anybody who didn't see it in the theaters and you're going to watch it in your own home, I'm okay with that. That's what I'm saying. No Way Home, you should have gone to the theaters and seen that. You know, Ragnarok is a theater's movie. Not because it's the experience. I'm just saying is that, like, you got to rush to go see it.
Yes.
This is one of those movies that some people, even Paul, my friend who owns a comic book store, well, you know him. Everybody else knows him, too. He'll be on more, too. Is he waited to see it till streaming.
Oh, and really?
So, like, he watched it the other night. He wasn't very excited about it. But, but overall, I think, again, if you just take it as a solo individual movie, it's a good movie. If you add it into the scheme of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it falls off a cliff because it's not as good as the other amazing 10-15 movies that are in there.
Yeah, I was wondering how what it did for the plot line to continue the MCU. I think it went.
Yeah. I think Phase 4 had been that. I think Phase 4 was a break. It seems weird to say that, but like a break to interconnectivity and pursuing and furthering the storyline that we're going to get in Phase 5. I think we're hopefully going to finish off with a bang with Black Panther. I'm really excited for Black Panther. Way more than I was excited for the first Black Panther. Yeah. And you're not super excited when we do a rewatch to rewatch Black Panther. But I think this movie's going to be different. Something to do with which sucks because it's the first one without Chadwick Boseman. But like,
I know.
Namor going to be in there and all those things. I think there's just some cool things coming up on that. Yeah. What else is coming up? So Ant-Man, excited for that. Guardians of the Galaxy. That's the other one. So maybe you'll be back.
I'm afraid after this.
Oh, maybe you'll be back for that one. Maybe we'll do Guardians of the Galaxy preview and review of the first two. And then we'll watch that, and then you can do that one too. I was thinking Paul's going to come on and do the preview to Black Panther, I believe it is. Or watch Black Panther and do the preview. And then I think we'll probably have him back to do the review of Black Panther Wakanda Forever because he went, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
You're also going to come back in December. Well, you'll be here in the house, but like you'll come back on the podcast. I'll be able in December.
usually I can hear you podcasting, but it's a while because you do them on Mondays now.
I do them, and then yeah, it's also it's a little more sound resistant in here.
I know, but it's loud.
Different than the bedroom when I was in the bedroom or in my office in there.
True.
This is a office now, which my garage. but otherwise, it was like I said, Taika Waititi. Go check out his other movies; they're really good. And obviously, watch Ragnarok over this one. But we didn't talk about his singing. Who's singing? Oh, Taika Waititi. He wrote a song in it, and it was I will say that one of the best things about this movie is again the soundtrack was good. It wasn't Guardians 1 or Guardians 2 or Thor Ragnarok.
It was solid.
But it was solid. Great, some classic movies, Guns N' Roses and stuff like that, and it was really cool. It'd be cool to have it on vinyl. I'd like to buy it on vinyl. It's not your favorite music.
Nope.
We have Black Panther on vinyl.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Wait, no, do I put that one? No, I put...
Yeah, you put Black Panther on.
I think that's the one I like the most out of all of it, to be honest.
No?
Well, no, I like Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. I put Black Panther on quite often.
The Spider-Verse one's pretty good. Excited for that one? Second Spider-Verse movie comes out next year?
Yeah.
I have to keep her apprised on when things are coming out.
You're supposed to put them in her family calendar.
I don't think that Taylor's going to be very excited to see Werewolf by Night.
No.
That trailer didn't excite you.
Oh, that was the one I stopped looking at.
Secret Invasion seemed like you liked it, though.
Yeah, I like the whole premise behind it. Yeah. And I know it's one of your favorite plot lines. Yeah. So I need to get excited for it for you.
But Werewolf by Night was definitely going to be a different... And that's why it's called the special presentation. It's called like a special... thing. It's his own. It's not a movie.
It's
not a TV show. It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be unique and different, which is exciting. And the composer or the musician composer for the Spider-Man movies is the co-director of that. Pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Whatever. Did you have fun?
I did have fun.
Yeah. You sure?
Yes.
You want brownies now? Taylor made us brownies.
Yeah, I want brownies.
You want brownies now?
Not the fun brownies, just regular brownies.
So with Adam being gone for a while now, Adam's welcome back anytime. We love him to death. I text him daily, and it's exciting to get him back. But for the foreseeable future, I was going to call someone a co-host, but I think I'm just going to do this solo with guest co-hosts probably for the rest of the year. We'll get back into the swing of things after a couple of up and down weeks with COVID and with holidays and all that crap. That's coming out. I will say that I tried in 21 to 22, the one year of Capes and Tights, I tried to do one every single week, no matter if I was on vacation or whatever. But 2022 into 2023, I think any Monday holiday vacations, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, 4th of July, all those things will be skipped. So I think I have planned for 47.
I think that's normal for podcasts.
47, I think I have planned for the next year, whereas... Instead of 50-something.
So at what point do we have Nova on as a co-host?
Yeah, right?
He'll just say car.
He'll just take everything off the back shelf over here.
He'll show them.
Put the movies in the trash.
Yeah.
But next week, Jabron Graham is coming on, who owns a bookstore in downtown Bangor, to talk Rogue One and to preview Andor, which she'll be okay with. She'll be excited for that. You liked Rogue One.
Yeah, actually, that was one of my favorite ones.
Star Wars movies. And then after that, we have... She-Hulk coming up, a review of She-Hulk with Paul's coming up there soon. I mean, after that series is over. My friend Amanda, comic book creator, is going to come on and talk. the podcast. So the future looks like either a guest, comic book creator or something like that, or co-hosted by Paul or Jabron, mainly those two, and then you. And then I'll have a couple solo ones. So, but they're excited to come on and fill the large seat for Adam. And that doesn't mean that he's a large man. I mean, it's in the big shoes to fill, as in he's a pretty good co-host for the podcast. So he'll be back at some point, hopefully. And if not, we'll just ride it solo. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And go to capesandtights.com for way more content than just our podcast articles and so on. So... this has been the Keeps and Tights podcast. This is Taylor. Say hi, Taylor.
Hi.
No, you should say hi, Taylor.
No, I can say bye. Bye. How about that? Makes a little bit more sense.
Okay, bye. And I'm Justin. And this is my wife. This is my trophy wife right here. She puts up with my shit.